The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Sirichuk, CEO of SO4, ticker there SO4. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me back, Justin.
Yeah, it's been a busy few weeks for you, and I've got a few questions here from investors, because today you've announced, of course, fundraising and lifting of suspension on the ASX, which is voluntary suspension, of course, there. So let's get into it. I'm sure lots of people know about the company. So last time you were on, I think you were saying your plan was never to have to raise any more funds again via equity. You were fully funded for the Lakeway production there. But you've also obviously done another fundraise. So what happened? What changed then, Tony? Can you explain that?
Yes, sure, Justin. That was the plan back in August. Obviously, when we did the fully funding piece and came out with that. Between now and then, or now and a few weeks ago, there's been a couple of fundamental changes. And the easiest one to explain is foreign exchange. So the whole banking model, or the base case financial model, has a 0.68 or a 68 cent FX in there. You know, we've looked at that now being at 74 cents, and in the last couple of days, it's even gone higher than that. So it's a bit of a moving feast in the FX world at the moment with the Australian and US dollar, because we are drawing US dollar debt. So as I've explained this to people, I sort of pitched that around that 11 to 12 million Aussie dollar gap, just purely from FX. Mm-hmm. The second fundamental thing that changed, we had a solution in place to cover the bank guarantee for the APA gas pipeline, and a few weeks ago, that solution was withdrawn. So we had to act very quickly. We pivoted directly to our export finance here in Australia, and we have worked very positively with them in the last few weeks. But we just can't get that government credit agency over the line in time to support the speed at which the project is being executed. So we've had to hold the schedule, go on equity back. That gas pipeline bank guarantee, and that's another 18 Aussie million dollars. So between the two, that's 30 Aussie million dollars that you can see referenced there as a CP to get that first tranche, 105 million US drawdown triggered. Now, while we were going back, we decided that we would fully shake this thing down and de-risk it, because we don't want to go back again, of course. So we ran all sorts of different model scenarios. Our proposal for our final approvals has been through the EPA board meeting yesterday. So that's gone quite well, very well. That's all I'll say on that one. And that now, from the timeline here, places us in a period next year that has exposure to a government election. So we have a government election here in 13 March next year. So there's caretaker periods and reforming of governments. So we've run a couple of different model scenarios there and how that could play out in the ministerial approvals or final signatures for our final EPA approvals to build the final pond trains. Mm-hmm. So we've basically upsized that raise to basically counter what we've referred to, I think it is the ramp up model versus actual in that the announcement. So that's that additional delta in the raise, and we refer to it as that working capital. We were very, very slim on working capital all the way through this modeling. So they're the sort of major fundamental points that make up what we've just gone out and raised, and further just de-risk this ramp up period.
Understood. So where are you now? Do you need to raise again via equity, or are you now sort of, like I said, fully funded there, or is there a condition there? Because there's a condition. They said you're drawing down 105 million. So what's the condition for the drawdown of the final tranche?
Yep. So we've drawing down as much as we can up front, 105. There's still 33 million US, and they're the CP on that is a standard market condition CP, and that's just a final cost of complete review before you take that final tranche down, and that's very normal with debt, you know, project financing. The good thing is we've only got two tranches, so we'll crystallise that FX risk very quickly on the 18th of December, Friday. This time next week, and we'll, by pulling, you know, lion's share, a majority down of that total 138 into our bank account.
Yeah. And someone said, they're going to raise another 30 million. Is that the case or not?
No. So this now releases the 138 million US facility that's been supported by Taurus and Clean Energy Finance Corporation. So no, I don't intend on having to raise any more in the near future. And that's why we walked this one up now, to be certain. As certain as we can at this point in time.
Excellent. So, you know, as far as you're concerned, so production is still on track for March and start selling in April. And someone kept, you know, quite a few questions coming to me, and someone said, oh, you know, potash prices have taken a hammering, of course, dollar strengthening. Does that, I mean, the currency or price of potash going down or whatever, if it's changed, does that affect your EBITDA levels?
No, I'll start with the first question answer. Are we on schedule? Yes, the project is now 80% complete. As I sit here and talk to you, we've got over 400 people involved in the construction process on site. The piece here is that this is a whole financing, you know, repair piece that we had to go forward with. It's got nothing to do with the technicals of the project. They're the same. The markets, off-takers is the same. Our construction project execution is flying along. You know, we'll be commissioning in February next year. I'm guiding now that first product will be March, and we're sort of saying we'll get that first sale away in April. If we can get away earlier, we will. So all of that's on plan. Nothing's changed in that space at all. So to the second part of the question there, I think you said salt pricing. Salt pricing is very strong at the moment. So, you know, we're seeing increased prices coming out of China at the moment. So that's quite good. I mean, Northwest Europe benchmark between CRU, Argus and Green Markets, the three analyst firms that sort of cover the SOP pricing for seaborne trade, you know, they've got that Northwest Europe benchmark sitting around that 435 to 475 euro between the three of them, which is about a 520 to 550 US for standard SOP, of which we've had to get obviously independent expert advice for the funding syndicates, you know, review and due diligence, and they got being guided, you know, we will at least receive a 10% premium to those prices. So it's actually quite different. It's quite strong, the pricing. Yeah. We're very resilient through the COVID period, and we're not seeing any down pressure at all.
Yeah. And as far as currency is concerned, will that affect anything, the model at all?
Oh, well, it's US debt, so the currency does affect, but yeah. We are crystallising 105 of the 138 next Friday with the 18 December drawdown. So we basically wipe out whatever that percentage is, 75-80% of that risk exposure next Friday.
Okay, cool. So your final thoughts, Sonny? I mean, it's been a sort of, I've said before, you know, the road of business, it's never run smoothly, does it, business? You know, there's always a few hiccups in the road. But what's your thoughts now? Do you think you're over most of the hurdles and it's in home run now?
It's been interesting. I joke that everything bar the kitchen sink's come my way at the moment. So, you know, we've had the COVID year, which we've got through, you know, construction sort of is on schedule, you know, on budget in terms of a construction project. You know, we've had to go back out, unfortunately, now to cover what I've, you know, explained as being foreign exchange and a bank guarantee and then some modelled schedule scenarios through our ramp-up period next year, you know, as we go through a state government election. So these are all things that are sort of separate to that project execution piece that is happening very successfully. I think we're there, we're good. You know, there's a lot of money coming into the bank account. You know, that cash flow forecast looking forward with this money takes us, you know, well out in quarter two next year, calendar year. So, you know, what we're focused on now is absolutely bringing this home, getting this plant commissioned and getting it ramped up and producing premium SOP.
Yeah, excellent. And is there any sort of questions you've had from investors, you know, over and over again, maybe, you know, this the same kind of question that you haven't covered on this podcast, you think?
No, I've pretty much run the same spiel and the same story. It's consistent, you know, and that message is that in terms of project execution, project delivery, everything's on track. It's all happening. You know, we've had to sort of come over here and tidy up a few loose ends in the financing package. I won't repeat that, but, you know, it's all laser focus now on getting this thing over the line and delivered and getting that premium SOP out into the market to our customers who are desperately waiting for it.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Well, Tony, maybe it's a good opportunity for some people to add you to their watch list. So give us those three T's again, if you could, for people who are not following the story, those three reasons to hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Sure, it's been a little while, but those three T's are still well in the head. So the thematics, Justin, the first T, thematics, I mean, great, you know, tailwinds here in terms of, you know, the growing populations and the shifting wealths and shifting diets and those food demands that are out there. It's a very clean, green produced premium fertilizer. It's salt water and sunshine that makes fertilizer to feed people. So beautiful ESG thematic there, and that's what attracted me big time to this at the beginning. That's the first T. The second T is technicals. Everything from, you know, the grades of this, the fact that, you know, it's smothered in infrastructure. We've got highways and gas lines and airports and townships all around us. You know, the financial models as well, it produces great returns. So there's a whole technical piece wrapped around this. It's very, very supportive of the Fast Pathway project. And that's the second T. And the third T is team. As I continually say, I've amassed a team of people that have got thousands and thousands of years of construction operations experience that are with me on this project. With a lot of us have worked together before on many past projects and successfully delivered. So they know what they're doing. They're a fantastic A-grade team, and they're here to push this thing over the line. Hence why the project execution is going so well. So they're the three Ts: the thematics, the technicals, and the team.
Excellent stuff, Tony. Thanks for coming on. I know it's quite late. Well, it's getting late out there in Australia, and I know you're busy, so thanks very much. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.